We are going to look at Matthew chapter 24. So if you brought your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 24. And in Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, I thought about what are we going to talk about? What am I going to talk about? And as I looked at this and thought about it, I thought, well, the first thing we need to do is recognize the day that we're living in. I think it's so important to remember the day that we're living in. You know, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, he says this, and we're going to read 3 through 14. He says, Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Now, I'm not trying to depress anyone, so I'm not going to preach about the end of the age, but just listen to what Jesus says and how Jesus answers their question. Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes." And by the way, pestilences literally mean diseases or viruses. And so he says, there'll be pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all the nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. And so I'm not trying to be naysayer here, but I just want you to see that guys, listen, this was written 4,000 years ago. And so when we look at the age that it was written and then we watch what's unfolding, it's really hard to deny that we are seeing things come, and they're coming rapidly, as Jesus spoke on. Amen. And so I want you now to go with that in mind. I want you to go to Luke. I want you to go to Luke chapter 23. In Luke chapter 23. In Luke chapter 23, Jesus has now been given up. He is now on the cross, and he's talking with the thieves, he's not talking with them at this point. He's just listening to them. And guys, I want to tell you, everyone in this parking lot, everyone watching, everyone in the world, they are one of three of the men on the cross. You are one of three. I think of the men on the cross. I think of the where they're at, their position. If you think about the two thieves, they're in a hopeless situation. Jesus, listen, Jesus is not in a hopeless situation. He's the Son of God. He knows that this day is appointed to him so that you and I could live. Listen, if he doesn't hang on the cross, if he doesn't give his life so that you and I can live, then we would have no hope. But because we have hope because of the cross. I love this passage for many reasons. I love it and I don't love it. This is a bittersweet time for me when I read these passages, because I think about Jesus on the cross and that's my Savior, and it's really disheartening. But when you think about it, if he didn't go on the cross, we wouldn't have any hope. Peter, I remember when they were meeting in the upper room, and Jesus had the bowl of water, and he was going to wash their feet, the disciples' feet. And Peter said, "No, Lord, no, you're not going to wipe my feet. You're not going to wash my feet. We need to be washing yours." So he told Jesus no, and Jesus said, "Listen, if I don't wash your feet, then there's no place for you in heaven." And all of a sudden, Peter's like, "Hey, Lord, not only wash my feet, but wash my whole body. Like, let me jump in. Let's do a bath time." Amen. And so Peter, that's right. Listen, Peter understood that we we need Jesus. And Jesus said, listen, if I don't do this, you're not going to have any hope. And I think, man, if Jesus didn't die on the cross, you and I won't have hope. And so he had to hang on the cross so that we wouldn't have to pay our sin debt. So as we look at the three men on the crosses, I want you to think about which one you are. Every one of us are going to fall somewhere in here. And I want you to think about which one you are. Please do not leave here without thinking about and contemplating who you are in Christ. Because I'm going to tell you, the whole reason for Easter, the whole reason we celebrate this is not the death of Jesus, but it is the resurrection of Jesus. It is Him rising from the dead that gives us all the hope that we have. Amen. All right, so I want you to look in Luke chapter 23, verse 39. Luke chapter 23, verse 39. And as we look at this, again, please, I want you to think about where you are, who you are, which one of these would you fall under of the men on the cross. Luke chapter 23, verse 39. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. This is the first guy on the cross. You know, there's so many. As a matter of fact, the multitude of people, the majority of the world will be number one. They're man number one. Oh, Jesus is real. Then so you know what? Jesus, save yourself. Save us. Listen, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And if you can save me, great. And if you can't, I didn't think so anyway, so it doesn't really matter. The first man, the arrogance of the first man. Yeah, if you're God, save yourself. Oh, and by the way, if you save yourself, go ahead and save me. He didn't believe. It was wishful thinking. He was hoping that, hey, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, this Jesus can actually do some miracle. Because you got to remember, Jesus was walking the streets before this. For three years before this day, he was walking the streets and he was healing the blind and the cripple and the lame. Listen, he was bringing life. Remember, Lazarus was in the grave. He was in the grave for 4 days. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that he was in there so long that he started to stink. And Jesus comes along and says, Lazarus, arise. Then Lazarus rises up and comes out of the grave and he's alive and he sheds the grave clothes and he walks again. And there were so many witnesses of this. The blind he gave sight to. As a matter of fact, when he gave sight to the blind, the man was about 40 years old. And so they knew he had been blind his whole life. There was no joke about this. There was no gimmicks. Everybody knew this man. And so Jesus gives him his sight. And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, who did this? And they said, I don't know who he was. All I know is once I was blind and now I see. And he said, who did it? Jesus. Jesus allowed the lepers, right? 10 lepers, he healed them. Only one came back to say thank you. The other 9, they disappeared, but Jesus healed 10 lepers. And they all knew this. They all seen this. So when Jesus, in his 3 years of ministry, he was doing miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And so for this thief on the cross saying, if you're the Christ, then you come down off of the cross. And if you get down off the cross, then you can get me down too. I don't believe in you. I don't believe that you're the Christ or that you can do all that you can. But if you can do it, remember me. Do that for me. And you know, the majority of the world, that's where they're at. Oh, I believe in God, but oh, don't throw Jesus in. Don't throw Jesus in. Because listen, when we put Jesus in the mix, that changes everything. You know, everybody believes in God. Whether it's a false God or the creator of the universe and the father of Jesus Christ. Everybody believes in God. The little g God or the creator of the universe. Everybody has religion. Listen to me. Everybody has religion. There is not a person walking the face of the earth that does not have a religion. Religion, listen, the atheist has a religion. Their religion is nothing. They believe in nothing, but that's their religion. The difference between Christianity and why we celebrate Easter versus all other religions is we believe in a risen Savior. Our God is not dead. Our Savior is not in the grave. He came out of the grave and He is alive today. That's our Jesus, our Savior. But I'm going to tell you, the atheists believe in nothing, and so they have nothing. And then you have others who say, well, you know, I believe in being good. Well, guess what your God is? You are your God. You think that if you're going to be good and good enough that you'll get to heaven. But I got a problem with that, and you should too. Because here's the problem. How good is good enough? Like, how do you know when you have been good enough? Where is that line where you go, yep, I crossed it, I'm in heaven now? And the crazy thing is, if we ask everyone in these cars what good is, we would get a multitude of different answers of what good is. A multitude of different answers. And so then that means somebody's wrong, which means being good is not going to get you to heaven. When we look at the cross and we look at the first man on the cross, he is the multitude. I just want to say right now that if you're the person who thinks that if you're good enough, you can get to heaven, if that's the case, why did Jesus have to die? Listen, if we can do it on our own, why did someone else have to die for our sins? Why did someone else have to die and pay the price that we are supposed to pay for sin? It's because being good doesn't get you to heaven. It's just good works don't do it. And here's the reason why. Nobody is good enough. Nobody, not one person in this universe is good enough. And the crazy thing is, listen, you have sinned, I have sinned, we've all sinned. And sin is what brought Jesus. And sin is what He had to die for, to shed His blood to cover your sin and mine. Sin is what convicts us. And you can say, well, listen, I'm a good person. I didn't say you were not a good person. What I said is you're not good enough. No one is good enough. And so this first man is the majority. And by the way, if you look at the immorality of the world today, and yet they still think that they're going to heaven. You ask someone who says, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus. I'm going to do my own thing, my own way. You know why? Because God loves me just the way I am, and I don't have to be any different. And so then their immorality is off the chart. It's unacceptable. I'm not trying to be a naysayer here for you. I want you to hear the truth. And the truth is that immorality is unacceptable. And you thinking that you're good enough is unacceptable. Because I guarantee everyone here at some point has told a lie. Even if it's what we call a white lie. Everyone here. Well, you're automatically classified as a sinner. Because you sin. Lying is a sin. Everyone here has probably taken something that they shouldn't have taken. Even if it's a piece of candy. Well, guess what? Now you're a thief. How many of you looked at someone in an inappropriate way? Well, now, guess what? That's sin in the heart because it's lusting. And when we lust, God says it's wrong. And if you lust in your heart, that's just like the actual sin. Don't go out and do that. I'm just saying. It's no different. Sin is sin. And so we're all guilty of something, which means we're all guilty and we all have to pay the price. And Jesus said, listen, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to come to earth because my Father is going to send me because I love you so much. My Father loves you so much that He doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to go and I'm going to die on the cross. And if you believe in me, you will have eternal life. And if you don't believe in me, you will not have eternal life. And there is nothing in between. Like, that's it. Right there. That's it. That's our options. And we can say, well, listen, wait a minute. Hold on, Pastor John. I got a problem with that. Because God is a loving God and He would send nobody to hell. And you know what? You're right. You're 100% right. God is a loving God and God would have none to go to hell. But God says, that's why you have the choice. I'm going to give you this choice, and the choice is all yours. And here's your choice. You either choose me and my way, or you get what's left over. That it's your choice. And listen, if you don't choose me and my son Jesus Christ, then you get what's left over, because this is the only other option. Now, I don't want you to go there. That's why I'm giving you Jesus. So if you say God won't send anybody to hell, you're right. We send ourselves there. And so listen, that's why we're here today. And that's why Jesus is on the cross. So the first man says, yeah, save yourself and then save me. I'll partake in it because it's to my benefit. I don't really believe it, but it's to my benefit if you can do it, so I'm in. That is the majority of the world. The idea of unbelief, but we'll take it. If it's going to benefit us, we'll take it. Then we come to the second guy. The second thief on the cross. Look here in verse 40. But the other answered, rebuking him, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man, talking about Jesus, has done nothing wrong." Listen, this thief said, "Hey, wait a minute. Whoa, why are you talking junk like that? What is your problem? Man, you are not too intelligent. Do you not realize that you're hanging here with him? Do you not realize that we're in the same boat he's in? We all have our own cross here. We're all hanging on the cross. We're all going to die today. Do you not understand that? Do you not understand that he..." Listen, Pilate even said, "I find no guilt in this man." And yet the people yelled, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And Pilate says, "But he's not guilty." So the first thief, he understood Jesus wasn't guilty. He knew that. Pilate knew that. The people knew that. And yet, because we want what we want, the way we want it, the way we think we deserve it, "Crucify him!" And so Pilate, giving in to the crowd, giving over Jesus over to be killed because the crowd pressured him, because he wasn't going to take a stand. I want you to know, we're going to take a stand as Christians. I want you to know that as pastor of Connecting Point Church, we're going to take a stand. We're not going to back down because the multitude says, "Be quiet, don't talk about Jesus." We're not going to do that. We're going to talk. We're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to preach the word. We're going to lift Jesus high. And listen, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you really need to hear this. And your decision is your decision. But I'm going to tell you, the day you draw your last breath, you can't say, "I didn't know." You can't say, "God, you're unfair." You can't say, "Well, I didn't sign up for this." Because listen, when you choose your life and your lives and your liability over God's free and his forgiveness, then we pay the price, and you're going to pay the price. And so this second thief, he's like, listen, he's innocent. We're guilty. You know you're a thief, and I know I'm a thief, but he's innocent. Do you not fear God? See, we fear God on our own level. And I don't know that many people even fear God, because they say, "Oh, this isn't real." I listen to YouTube and I go on there and listen to testimonies. And I hear people talk, and many people say, especially the younger crowd, the millennials, whatever you guys are, "Well, I used to believe in God." That was before you went to school or college. And somewhere along the line, somebody talked you out of it. They lied to you. Listen, they fed you a lie. And if you don't stop and realize, you can't save yourself. Listen, if man could save himself, why would we be struggling with this coronavirus? If man could save himself, why is everybody locked in their homes and in their cars today? If man could save himself, don't you think man would? But man can't. Listen, I don't care who you are here today. You can't fix yourself. You can't save yourself. You and I and the rest of the world, we need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. And this second man, listen, this second man says, I'm guilty, but Jesus, I believe that you are the Lord. I believe that you can save us. And then look what he says. In 41, he says, And we indeed justly, for we receive due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. In 42, then he said to Jesus, Lord, look, all of a sudden the title has changed. He recognized Jesus for who he really was and then gave him the proper title. Lord, Lord. He recognized, listen, that is, I'm just going to tell you, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you believe in your heart that God the Father raised Jesus the Son from the dead, this is what Easter's about. I'm sharing with you the gospel. I'm telling you the only way to heaven, and what you do with that information from here on out is going to be entirely up to you. But the Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10 that if you believe in your heart, not your head, that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and the mouth confession unto salvation. And simply what it means is, today you sit here and you go, you know, I can't save myself. I can't fix myself. And so Jesus, today, I'm going to believe you died on that cross for me. I believe in my heart that you are who you say you are. And today I give my life to you. Listen, that's what this is all about. That's the whole gospel. That's everything we need to know right there. And so he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Lord, when you get into your kingdom, when you get to heaven, remember me. Remember me. I believe. I believe. That's what he's saying. And then look here, and I love this, in 43, and Jesus said to him, assuredly, assuredly, that means without doubt, no question about it, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, what's really interesting about this passage, and I can go into deep theology, but I'm not going to do that. But what's really very, very cool about this passage is their day at that time in Jerusalem, their day ended at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock in the evening ends their day, and then 6:01 begins a new day. For us, it's midnight. And so now it's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and this has got to hurry up. They got to speed the process up, because now it's on a Friday evening. For them, it would have been a Friday evening, and the Passover is about, Saturday, their worship day, the Sabbath is about to happen. So you can't do any work on the Sabbath. And so now they have to, listen, they got to kill Jesus. And he's got to be dead and off the cross. All three of those men have to be dead and off the cross before 6 o'clock. And so Jesus says, today, literally within a matter of an hour or so, he was going to be in heaven with Jesus. What a promise. And for all those out here that you say, Jesus is my Savior, listen, the day you take your last breath, you're going to be with Jesus. I'm going to be with Jesus. Listen, and so if the coronavirus comes, it comes, but I'm going to be with Jesus, and so will you if you've given your life to Christ. So now as he goes on, he says, listen, assuredly, without question, no question about it, you will be with me today in paradise. Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with God. You will be with me in paradise. Verse 44. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. Verse 45, guys, is incredibly important here. And you have to understand this. And I want you to really hear what I'm about to tell you. Because by the veil being torn in two, see, in the Old Testament, they had the veil, and the veil hung. And that, by the way, that veil literally would have been about this thick. It was literally about 24 inches thick. It was incredibly thick. And it was all woven together, tight, knitted together. To tear that thing was physically impossible for any human being. Even if you hook two elephants up together and try to pull it, it wouldn't tear. And here in verse 45, it says, then the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when that veil was torn in two, verse 46, and says, and when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Guys, let me tell you what that was so crucial about the veil. And then I'm going to wrap up. Here's what's so crucial about that veil. That veil hung in the temple. And it separated the Holy of Holies from sinful man. And so you couldn't go in there. Listen, only a priest could go in there. And it is said that even then when the priest would go in there, he had to go through the process and be prayed up and stayed up, if you will. And he had to be right with God and blood sacrifices of animals. And all this had to happen so he could go in to the Holy of Holies. And only one priest could do this. And it said that they had to tie a rope to his ankle. And if he didn't come out in a certain amount of time, they would pull him out because that meant that he died. Because he went in there with wrong heart, wrong motive. I'm not sure that that's accurate. I'm just saying that that's what they say happens. Well, the veil's torn. And when that veil was torn, anything between man and God was gone. That meant when that veil got torn, that meant that you and I could go straight to the Father in heaven through Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus is our mediator. One man. There's one man, one mediator between God and man, and that's Christ Jesus. And so, if you're here today, and listen, I'm just telling you, I want to encourage you, if you're here and you're my Catholic friend, God bless you, so glad you're here. But I want you to understand, when that veil was torn, the Pope said it last week, 2 weeks ago, or 3 months ago, whatever it was now when the coronavirus hit. And he said, listen, you don't need the priest now. You can go straight to God. That's what the Pope said. And I want to tell you, this is why. Because the veil has been torn. And anything that separated you from God is gone. And so you can go straight to God. You don't need to go to a priest. That ended right here in this verse. And so I'm really encouraged and was encouraged when I heard the Pope say, you can go straight to God now. I've always believed that because this is what the Scriptures say. And now I want to encourage you. If you thought there was anything in the way, that's gone now. Because when Jesus died on the cross and he took his last breath, he removed all obstacles that got between us and the Father in heaven. And so I want to encourage you. Listen, if you're here today, you can go straight to God. You don't need me. You don't need another man. You need Jesus Christ. And you just cry out to Jesus. And the Bible says that when you give your life to Christ, when you believe on Jesus, he's our mediator. You need nothing else to get to heaven. Nothing else to talk to the Father in heaven. You simply need Jesus. And so today I want to give you that opportunity. If you're here, now listen, and you got to listen to me real close because I really want you to understand this. I'm not asking you to join my church. I'm not asking you to believe what I believe. I'm not asking you to be a part of my church. If you want to, great, fantastic. Would love to meet you after today if I've never met you. Would love it. Would love to see you come to my church. But I don't care about that. We're not taking up offerings, so I'm not after your money. I'm just glad that you are here and that you are hearing the truth of the Word of God so that you have an opportunity to make a decision just like the first thief on the cross did. And so I need you to hear me. I really need you to hear me. I'm after nothing. I benefit nothing from this. If you believe, that is between you and God. If you give your life to Jesus Christ, you benefit from that, not me. So I want you to understand right now that there is no gain on my behalf. I have no gain. But you do. You have the gain. You. Listen, this is for you to understand. And this could be the best Easter you've ever had in your life. Because you heard truth and you surrendered to it. I read to you the things of God, not the things of Pastor John. I read to you the Word of God, the only place in the world where you're going to find that it says Jesus Christ died for your sins. The only book that has lasted for thousands of years, nobody can get rid of it. It has lasted and sustained itself because God said it would. That He would keep His Word and He would protect His Word. Man has tried over the decades and the decades to get rid of the Word of God. And God said His Word isn't going anywhere, and it hasn't. And so today you got to ask yourself this question. Do I want to go to heaven? Do I want to go to heaven? And if you say yes, but you're the first man on the cross that says, hey, yeah, save yourself and me. Listen, you're not going to go to heaven. You got to be the second man. You got to be the man on the second cross where He said, Lord, today remember me. Remember me when you get to your kingdom. And Jesus is going to say, today you'll be with me. But this is your decision. Your decision. And so, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. And this is between you and God. You're going to make this decision for you in your car. The first question I have for you is, if you were to die right now, do you know that you would go to heaven? That's a real question. I mean, that's because here's the truth of the matter. Listen, we are not promised tomorrow. The Bible says in James that our life is like a vapor. It's here for a little while and then we're gone. The reality is, each and every one of us, one day, we're going to die. We're going to draw our last breath. The question isn't if we're going to die. We know that's going to happen. The question is, what happens when we die? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can get to heaven except through me. You know, I find it real interesting that we don't have a problem if we go down here and join the Elks Club. We don't have a problem if we join a singing club or a knitting club or whatever club you might join, a gun club, whatever it is. We don't have no problem joining those clubs. And they say, oh, okay, listen, here's what you got to do. You got to read this, and you got to sign off on this, and you have to agree to this, and you got to pay this, and you got to do this many meetings, and blah. I mean, right, all these things we got to do. And we're like, hey, no problem, man. Let me find this pen I just dropped. Hey, not a problem. How many here got a pen? Amen? Yeah, amen. There you go. So take the pen and you're going to go, hey, you know what? Yeah, let me sign right here. Let me just sign right there. And we'll pay the dues and we'll show up for the meetings and we'll read the material. And I understand that if we don't pay the dues, we're no longer a member. I understand that if we don't do certain things and keep certain rules, we're no longer a member. And most people never have a problem with that. But when we say, hey, wait a minute, Jesus says or God says, this is the only way you're going to get into my heaven. You're like, whoa, wait a minute. Why do we have all these restrictions? Well, because just like the clubs you join to get into, whether it's the knitting club, the crocheting club, and those might be two of the same things, I'm clueless, or whether it's a gun club, which I'm all for, whether it's whatever club it is, a book club, just like signing up for those and agreeing to all their terms, God says you got to agree to His terms. Otherwise, you can't be a part of His club. I mean, that's just the way it is. And some people go, well, I don't agree. You don't have to agree. Don't join the club. It becomes that simple. But shame on me if I don't tell you how to get to heaven. In order for you to get to heaven, the first question is, when I die, am I going to heaven? And if you couldn't sit there and go, absolutely, then you're probably not going to heaven. And if I asked you, okay, you're going to heaven, why are you going to heaven? And if you come up with the answer, because I'm a good person, Pastor John, you don't understand. I'm a good person. The Bible says that is not a reason to get to heaven. You're not good enough. No one is. And so now what are you going to do with what's left? And what's left is Jesus. That's it. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. You have to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and mine. He paid the ultimate price. You have to believe that He rose again on the third day. That is what Easter is about. That's why we celebrate on Sundays. That's why we go to church on Sunday, because we're celebrating the resurrection day, the day that Jesus Christ rose. That's today. And then you have to believe that He's at the right hand of the Father. Now, I didn't say you had to understand it all. I just said that you had to accept it all. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And so if you're here today and you said, well, you know what? I'm not good enough then. And that was the only answer that I had. I'm going to give you an opportunity to have another answer. And that answer is repentance. Where today you say, listen, I surrender, Jesus. I believe that You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. I believe You conquered death and hell. I believe You're at the right hand of the Father. Today I believe. Today I surrender. I'm going to give You an opportunity. Now understand this. I'm going to ask each and every one of you, right where you're at, in your cars, that you, if you're at home, if you're listening on the radio, you're at home, you're in your car, whatever it is, I'm going to ask you right now, everyone, to just bow your head. Just bow your head and close your eyes. If you would, just take the minute and bow your head and close your eyes. And then I want you to pray this prayer. Now understand, these words aren't magical. There's nothing magical about the words I'm going to ask you to pray. The magic happens in the heart. Salvation happens in the heart. This prayer, the words I'm going to give you, it's just kind of like a roadmap to walk you through it. So that come the day, and if Satan or the devil tries to jump on you and say, oh, you're not saved, you can go, no. I remember the day that I, on purpose, my decision, I ask Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. That's what the prayer is about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And listen, if you already know Jesus as your Savior, you pray for someone that's here that doesn't. You pray, Lord, do a great work. That's what you pray. Lord, touch the heart of man. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If it's your desire to receive Christ as your Savior, to give your life to Jesus Christ, to believe on Him, then you pray this prayer quietly in your heart. Jesus, today I surrender. Today I believe on You as my Lord and Savior. Today I repent. I repent. I turn from my sinful ways. I turn from them and I look toward You. I no longer practice the things that I know are against You. But Father, in heaven, I look toward You. Today I believe. Jesus, I ask that You forgive me of all my sins. Save my soul.